is a tremendous story. Jesus' parables were incredible. Little wonder the crowds just got bigger and bigger, and they, at times they crowded around the house and people couldn't get in, and at times they crowded him back onto the Sea of Galilee and had to get into a boat to preach, because the stories really were quite something like they'd never heard before. And this is probably a dangerous and probably a wrong thing to say, but I think personally that of all the stories Jesus ever told, this was actually the best of all his parables about this young man particularly. There's a few things I want to say to you about him this morning. And first of all, the fact that he ran. Here's a young man with the whole of his life ahead of him. A young man who, let me just bring up the first heading there. Let me read you the first couple of verses. And it says, verse 12, this is, the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country. He was young. He was also, I'll say to you, I think he was scared. He was scared, not of death, not of taking risks, not of danger, not of having a go, not of what people thought of him. He wasn't afraid of being different, because a lot of young folk nowadays aren't afraid of that. They're ready to have a go. Try anything. What was he scared of? He was scared of life passing him by. He was scared of missing opportunities. He was afraid of wasting time, afraid of getting bored, afraid of living a life that wouldn't satisfy. He was scared of getting stuck on a farm in among all the muck, while out there was this big, exciting world that he wanted to try. He was scared of living an empty life, of finishing his life with nothing to show for it. And I must say, good on you, young lad, because that's the attitude. People who are prepared to sit around and just let life drift on and just the humdrum of it, that would worry me if a young person was thinking like that. It would be very sad. This is a brilliant attitude in one way, to want not to get stuck and bored and doing nothing, but to get out and do stuff. And this young man was determined that life wasn't going to pass him by. And so, in modern parlance, he gelled his hair, he lowered the suspension, he put out his intentions on Facebook, and he went out to party. That's where his life was going now, out to this reverberating, pulsating world, a world that was saying to him, "I can make you happy." And that's what the world is saying today in so many ways. It's been saying it all through the generations, but never more so than today. And especially the young people, there's so much out there that is saying, if you want to be happy, this is what you need. And Facebook has really blown that up for us, where people feel I've got to be in this, I've got to be in that. And the world's saying, if you want to be happy, because out there are bright lights. There's noise, there's a buzz, there are people, there's stuff happening, there's pleasure, there's fun, and of course he was attracted by that. What young person wouldn't be attracted by that? But I want to say to you that despite all that, I believe he was actually on the run. He was running to get happiness. Like thousands of people today, millions of people today, young and old, who are on the run today, running hard to try to get happy, running scared. This young man, he says, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So the man divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country. Time was short. Every moment was precious. This empty life had to be filled. And there was this sense of, "Father, I need to get out and do stuff. I need to drink in this stuff." Let me ask you today, are you on the run? Are you running hard? Running hard to try to get happy? Running hard to try to fill your life? Seeking, trying, tasting, getting, rushing. Is your life a busy rush today? Are you anxious that time seems to be passing ever so quickly? And so much of your life you suddenly realize is gone already. And there's this almost a panic in your life to get your life filled with things that will really satisfy. You realize time is short. You're very aware that time will soon be over. And you attend funerals of friends, and again it hits you, and time is running out. Are you on the run this morning? For a time it worked for this young man as he ran looking for his satisfaction. But eventually his bubble burst. It always will. I'll say to you just very bluntly here, that if you this morning, whoever you are, however young, however old, however religious, irreligious, whatever you are, if you are seeking your satisfaction and your purpose and your fulfillment in anything or anyone other than Jesus Christ, then your bubble will soon be bursting. Guaranteed. He ran, but secondly, he realized. Let me read on here. Let's just get a sense of this again, what's happening. Verse 14, it says, after he had spent everything. And I think it's always good to remember, this is not a story of something that actually happened. This is a story constructed by Jesus to teach some very plain lessons. So every detail, Jesus put the details in just as he wanted them to be. So every detail is important. And so it says, after he'd spent everything, verse 14, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went out and hired himself to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will go back and I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven, against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. There's a tremendous phrase in there in verse 17 where it says, when he came to his senses. When he came to his senses, he said, well, we say in Northern Ireland, when he wised up. That's the phrase we would tend to use. But it's horrendous what it took in Jesus' story to bring this young man to his senses. Everything had gone by the time he came to his senses. He'd had sore heads in the mornings. He'd watched his money running out. He saw his friends beginning to desert him. That's the story Jesus paints for us here. He had proved the emptiness of his path, but still on and on, he pursued this worthless course. And it wasn't until his feet were steeped in you-know-what. There's a boy to remind you up on the screen. It wasn't until then, right down at the lowest ebb, that this young man came to his senses and wised up. It's amazing what it takes to bring some people to their senses, and I mean real sense here. We're talking today about the real purpose in life, about what's worth having in life. We're not talking about superficial stuff. We're talking about the real depths. And in relation to those real depths, it's amazing what it takes to bring some people to their senses. What about you this morning? Are you here and you know deep down that the course you're pursuing in life is ultimately empty? But you won't admit it. You won't accept it for yourself. And on you're pressing with it, even though the facts are blatantly clear to you. Maybe the Lord's been speaking very directly to someone here this morning, convincing you of the emptiness of the course you're on. Perhaps you've even through accident or illness been led right to the edge of the precipice where you've almost been able to look over into death itself and eternity, and God has brought you there and scared the wits out of you. And still, it hasn't brought you to your senses. Still, you've persisted with this lost, empty way of existence. What will it take to get through to you? When will you wise up? When will you face facts? When will you get real? When will you step off the road that leads to a lost eternity? Verse 16, he longed to fill his stomach with the pods the pigs were eating. But no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, at long last, his eyes were open. He came to his senses. He looked around. He sat there among the pigs, looking at what they were eating. This is a very vivid story Jesus tells. He even tells us about the pig trough. He says he looked around at what he had. And he recognized that he had nothing. He thought he'd been wise and progressive. But actually he had nothing. Nothing that would last. It was all passing. It was all temporary. It was all empty. Right now, sitting there, and it took that to help him to see it. Right sitting there, he realized that he had nothing. Oh, friends, listen. At times I look at people and they have this, that, and the other. And they have stuff that the world counts big and expensive. And I look at them and say, but can they not see? Can they not see that actually they're sitting among the pigs? They have nothing that will last. And they can't see. This guy, verse 17, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. He recognized that in his steps that he had taken to get happiness, actually, he turned his back on happiness. He'd walked away from happiness. He'd walked away from his father's house and from the happiness there. Let me ask you this morning, somebody here and you've turned away from the purpose, the meaning, the real life that Jesus Christ gives. You've heard the gospel and you've turned away. Does that really strike a very strong chord for somebody here this morning? Somebody who's not in here hearing the gospel for the first time and saying, hey, that, amazing. That wordless book, is that all true that he told those kids? But you're not like that. You've heard the gospel. You've heard it crystal clear. And you know, you walked away from it. I want you to sit and count up. Go home after lunch and sit and get a piece of paper out and write down all the stuff that you own. And count it up. And you can put the figures in down the right hand side and it might add up to a fair bit for some. And then you've got to say, but how much of this is lasting? And count up what you really have. Or somebody here this morning, and you have come to Christ. You've trusted him as your Savior. But you've wandered far away. You're out in the world pursuing the worthless stuff again. Your whole focus has shifted again. You're walking away again. Look around today. I mean at yourself, at your life, at where you're going. Weigh it up. Count your treasures was one of the words one of the kids gave us. Come to your senses. Are you coming to your senses? He ran, he realized, and the third thing I want to say to you about this young man, which is a marvelous thing, was that he returned. Now, let me get it up on the screen for you here. It's a long distance to the back there, and I struggled with your remote, so I thought I'll try mine today, but that's not doing any better for me. Right, here we go. Verse 18. And it says, he says, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. Now, this was a massive, big step for this man to take in Jesus' story. It was a very painful step and a very costly step to have set off determined that he was going to find the happy life, convinced that he knew better than his old fuddy-duddy father at home, and now to have to trudge back down the same road with an empty wallet, with his clothes in tatters, smelling off you know what, because you know where he'd been, in utter despondency and hopelessness. That was an intensely painful journey for the man in Jesus' story. And I'll tell you what was most painful about it. At the crux of the matter, he was having to say, I got it wrong. And you put yourself right into the real vivid story that Jesus is telling here. And watch this young man heading off to Australia, as it were. Heading off to make his fortune. Everybody watching him going. He's heading off today. This is his last day. Maybe never see it. And then he's appearing again. Looking an absolute mess. It's never an easy thing to say, I'm wrong. I got it wrong. But he knew it. He saw it. He wised up to it. And he said it. Verse 18, he says, I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. You're here today and you're still too proud to find the answer. Here without Christ still, and yet you're determined that somehow or other your way is right. That ultimately it's going to work out for you. I say to you, if you're sitting without Jesus Christ today, that's not bravery. It's stupidity. And if I say to you, very specifically and directly from God's word, that you're wrong, and say to you, whoever you are today without Jesus Christ, who cannot yet say, I have come and taken Christ as my Savior and Redeemer. If I say to you today, you are wrong, you're not going to want to hear that. And you're maybe not going to like me for saying it. And maybe you'll not come back to the mission because I've said it. Don't take it that way. Because maybe today's your day to stop pretending. This young man had looked around, he'd surveyed the scene, he'd examined his life, he had wised up, he had admitted he'd got it wrong, he'd realized he was on the wrong path, he had even decided to return to his father, but without the final step, all of that thinking was in vain. And what was the final step? He got up and went to his father. Listen to it, listen to the flow of this again. Verse 17, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. All of that, things are happening. This young man's life is changing. Things are moving within him. He's coming. He's wising up. He's coming to reality. He's saying, here's what I'm going to do. But here's the important verse, verse 20, that says, so he got up and went to his father. Are you still sitting there saying, I know I need to. I know I need to. Maybe you're still among the bright lights. Never reached the pegs yet. Life's on a bit of a high for you today, out there in all the other stuff that you're doing. Let me warn you that while this is a story Jesus tells of one case, not everybody gets to the pegs. Many a soul I've watched right at the height, at the peak of their career, at the most happiest moment in their life, and suddenly cut off. Don't depend on there being a time that things won't go so well, and that'll make you think. Are you still sitting around and not facing reality? Or have faced reality? And you know where your life's going. and you know that you've got nothing, and you know that you need more, and you know that you're in spiritual danger, you know what you need to do? You've got to get up and go to the Father today. And yes, it's a big step. It's a fearful step. It's a costly step. And we, Stephen and myself and others, we're not the sort of people who stand at the front and plead with you so as we can say, another one put their hand up. Listen, this is a big step we're calling on you for. This is a thing that changes your whole life. This is you stepping over and putting your whole life in the hands of Jesus Christ. It's a huge step. It's the biggest step you possibly could take. It's a costly step. Because at the heart of that step, you're saying, all these years, I've got it wrong. All these years, I've been on the wrong path. Do you know how when you're out driving, we try to make sure it never happens when we're driving buses with a load of passengers on, but when you're out driving in your car, and you're coming to the conclusion that you're on the wrong road. And it's one of the hardest things, although there's no embarrassment or anything with it, imagine you're on your own, but it's one of the hardest things to actually come to the point where you stop the car and find a place to turn and turn right and go back the way you came. It's very, very hard, very, very hard to do. And if it's hard to do when you're out driving your car, you know what it's like when you're walking down the street and you're dashing along, suddenly you think, coming the wrong way. And you think, how do you ever in that situation, you think, how do I get turned here? Because you're a busy street, and if you're marching along, and suddenly you do that, people think, he's wrong in the head. Do you ever in that situation? And what do? You sort of, I tend to look at my watch, and head back the other direction, because it's hard to turn around. And spiritually, the biggest step of all, why is it hard to turn around? Because you're conscious that people are watching you and some who are going to say, he's wrong in the head. He's turned his whole life around. Hey, he was going that direction. Look where he's going now. It's hard to turn around. I'm wrong. It's very hard to say. But this young man did it. He went humbly to his father because, he came and he says, listen, I have sinned. I'm all wrong. But he also went hopefully. This is a lovely thing about this story. Despite everything, he believed that there was a way back for him. Despite the fact that he'd taken half the father's fortune and squandered it in prostitutes, as his older brother said later on. Despite that, in Jesus' story, he somehow felt there was a way back for him. And he decided to go. And what about you? Can you, the vilest sinner, ever possibly stand before the holy God of heaven? Now listen, there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There is a door that is open where you may go in. Calvary's cross, where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. The great price was paid at Calvary. Is there a way from the black page to the white page to the gold page? Some of you might like that we keep turning it over as we did with the young folk for a good while without realizing that, no, there's one in between that you've got to go through. It's the red one. Because it's there at Calvary, the white one, the one with no sin, totally pure, took my sin upon his shoulders and paid the price for me. There's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin, a door that is open where you may go in at Calvary's cross, where you begin when you come as a sinner to Jesus. You today, are you saying like this young man, I'm coming home. Somebody here today and you recognize that God has been dealing with you. I'm not just talking about today. It might be very specifically today and very powerfully and personally today. But something in God's been dealing with you and you've been knowing and you've been already assessing this all in your mind and you know that what you have counts for nothing. Are you ready today to say, Lord, I'm coming home? Are you ready to say, well, do it. Get up and go, because this is the whole point. That he came to all of that. What a transformation when he sits among the pigs and he says, boy, what a mess I've made. I thought I was ever on top of the world. I'm sitting here now and I'm saying, boy, what a mess I am. What a mess I'm in. What a mess I've made. I need to go back to my father and say, and. But here's the important bit. He got up and he went. And that's the important bit. That's what you've got to do. And for the rest of your life, till the day you go to your grave, you can say, that's what I need to do. But that's not good enough to say, that's what I need to do. You've got to get up and do it. Get up and go today. Get up and come to him today. Believer in Christ, who's maybe wandered far from the Lord. Maybe someone here today who's far down today and you never believed you could get this far down. You're in among the pigs. Get down off your high horse and get back today. There's an old chorus that now I'm coming home comes from in my mind. And it says, I've wandered far away from God. Christian, I'm talking to somebody here, somebody who claims the name of Jesus. I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. Paths of sin too long I've trod. Now I'm coming home. I've wasted many precious years. Now I'm coming home. I now repent with bitter tears. Somebody here really needs to hear that today. And what awaits you? With this I finish. He returned and he rejoiced. Verse 20, look at him. It says, so he got up and went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. What a reception this was. What a welcome home. What a marvelous picture, because here in Jesus' story is the full glory of Calvary expressed. Look who is hugged and kissed by the magnificent father. It is the rottenest, smelliest, poorest, brokenest wee vagabond. But this is the glory of Calvary. I love Charles Wesley's hymn where he says, he breaks the power. This is Jesus. He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. Are you here today and saying, that's me. I'm not a vagabond today. I'm not sinner. I'm the rottenest. I've tried everything. I'm the empty one. I ask you, are you the coming one today? Trudging your way wearily to Calvary. Here's the detail I think I love most of all in this story as we finish. In verse 20. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. While he was still a long way off. You put yourself into this very vivid story that Jesus tells. And you see what that says. That means that every single day, old dad was watching the horizon, waiting for his son to come home. The moment he came over the horizon, the father spotted him immediately. He didn't have to come hammering on the door. Friend, today, I tell you this, you who are a repentant sinner, you don't have to come pounding on his door. He's been watching for you. He's been calling you. He's been drawing you to himself. It's him who's brought you here today even. You're the lost sheep he's been tramping the hills for. Just cast yourself today on those everlasting arms. And look at the glory that awaits you. And we could spend time on that marvelous picture of what the Father wants to do for the Son. Or you, Christian, who's really messed up, just come today. Because what a wealth awaits you. Come today to Jesus. You maybe who are a child of the King, yet sitting among the pigs. Oh, what a foretaste of heaven he has for us. And heaven itself waiting for us. And oh, yes, it's very, and you maybe think simplistic when we show a gold page to the kids. My friends, we haven't begun to imagine how marvelous heaven's going to be. So where are you at today? Are you on the run still? Running away. Running from reality. Running from the truth. Running from what you know you need to do. Running from the emptiness of what you are. Or have you realized today? Have you wised up? Has the Holy Spirit been working with you and you've been knowing that God is working? The voice has become so clear and so strong. Well, you need to get up and do something. Somebody here today, God is saying you've done this too long. You've sat too long saying, here's what I need to do. You need to get up and go to the Father. And boy, what awaits you. Oh yes, tough life. I'll not tell you otherwise. But hey, it's incredible. To be able to lie down every night and know that should you be taken in the middle of the night, you're straight to the glory land. To get up every morning and know you're going to live for things that are going to last. Hey, there's no comparison between knowing Christ and not. He's calling today. What a Savior. Go home and read that lovely story again. Jesus told that story. Jesus made that story up for you to tell you what he thinks of you. And how he operates. Let's pray together.